Two friends, they were best friends, decided to take a little journey and see the sights of a particular desert. And they went out and they started their little journey, and as they went along, they ended up getting into an argument, and one of the best friends slapped the other. The other didn't retaliate, but he simply kneeled down and took his finger and he started writing in the sand. And he wrote these words, "My best friend slapped me in the face." He wrote that in the sand. And then they continued their journey looking at the sights of the desert, and they came to a little oasis, and there was a cool pool there, and they were hot, and they said, "Well, let's get in and cool off." Well, they got in the water, and the one who had been slapped got in a little bit too deep, and all of a sudden he panicked, he started drowning. And his best friend reached out and grabbed him and saved him. And when he got up back on the bank, he sat beside a stone. He took out a little knife and he started scratching out a message on the stone. And the message said, "My best friend saved me." Well, his friend looked at him and he said, "You know, this is strange. You know, when we were out in the desert and I slapped you, you wrote in the sand. And now you're riding on a rock. What's going on?" And he said this to his best friend, "We belong to each other. When you hurt me, I wanted to ride out my feelings in the sand where the winds of forgiveness could blow it away. When you helped me, I wanted to ride out my feelings on this stone where others will see it and be blessed, and no wind can ever blow it away." Well, last week I talked about belonging as I introduced this new sermon series, and I talked about the fact that we belong to Christ as believers, and that He has made each one of us into a new creation. And today I want to focus on belonging and what that means for us to be a community of believers. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs and help us to understand what it means to belong together as a community of believers. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now I've got a question for you. What is it that makes a sports team successful? Is it talented players? Is it tremendous coaching and training? Is it simply the determination and the will of the players to win? Well, all of those are very important, but not the most important. What makes a team successful is not how big or strong or fast or great or the training or this or that. What makes a team successful is their sense of teamwork. The better they are as a united team, working together, functioning together to accomplish the mission of playing the game or the sport, the better they will do. Well, the same is true for the church. In order for us to communicate the good news of Christ out into the world, which we're called to do, it's important for us to have a sense of unity and togetherness and community. And the stronger our sense of community is, the greater we're able to communicate and to share the good news of the gospel. Now, the word community embodies all of the characteristics of the Greek word koinonia that we find in our scripture lesson this morning. It's one of Paul's favorite words to describe our relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and our relationship with each other. And he uses it in different ways and translates it in different ways scattered throughout the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2:42, he uses it to identify the word fellowship. We are in fellowship with one another, koinonia with one another. In 2 Corinthians 6, he translates it differently. He calls it togetherness. We're in a state of togetherness as we serve Christ. And in Philippians 1, verse 5, he translates it in a different way. He says, we are partners in a partnership with Christ and one another as we minister in the world. And what Paul is basically saying is that as we grow in our understanding of fellowship and togetherness and partnership with Christ, we are better able to communicate the good news and the love of Christ in the world. Now, this is our book of confessions in the Presbyterian Church, and it's filled with all sorts of historical documents that were created many, many years ago. One of these is what's called the Heidelberg Catechism. It was written in 1562 AD as they were trying to understand who are we as Christians and what does it mean to follow Christ. And so what they did was they created a question and an answer format where they would raise a question and then they would have a paragraph to answer it. Well, question 55 says, what is our understanding of the communion of saints, or we might say the community of saints? And the answer that was given or is given is this. It says that first of all, that believers one and all as partakers of the Lord Christ and all his treasures and gifts shall share in one fellowship. And then he says, secondly, that each one ought to know that he is obliged to use his gifts freely and with joy for the benefit and the welfare of other members. Now, what does that mean? It means that through Christ, we belong to one another. We belong to one another for the purpose of helping and supporting and encouraging and sharing and giving and providing, comforting, so many different things that are part of this sense of community that we have become through Christ. And when we do those kinds of things, when we live out a sense of community in those kinds of ways, we make the gospel real and visible to a world that is watching and looking and hoping for something good. In World War II, thousands of American soldiers were killed, and many of them were buried in formal memorial cemeteries overseas in Europe. Some were buried in local cemeteries, some in mass graves, some in private land spots. Thousands of them were buried overseas. Well, in France, one American soldier died and his buddies wanted to provide a proper burial for him. And so they found a local cemetery and they went to the priest and they said, we'd like to bury our friend here. And the priest said, well, is he Catholic? And they said, no. Well, if he's not a baptized Catholic, he cannot be buried inside the fence of this cemetery. You'll have to bury him over there on the other side of the fence. Well, of course, his friends were discouraged. But they went ahead and buried him. And then the next day they came back to pay their last respects and they couldn't find the grave. And they looked all over and one of them even said, he said, surely we can't be mistaken, it was right here. So they went to the priest and said, we don't understand, we buried our friend here yesterday but we can't find the grave. And he said, come on. And the priest said this to them. He said, last night I simply could not sleep. I was troubled that your friend had to be buried outside the cemetery. And so I had the fence moved so that he could be included. As believers, we are included in this community of believers that Christ has created in the church. And we are called to love one another, support one another, encourage one another, and be together in all that we do. Now, our second reading is from John 17, and it's a familiar passage. It's a passage that reveals Jesus praying to the Father. But there are a lot of things that we don't catch even though it's a familiar passage. There are things we just sort of read over and we don't really understand. When Jesus was praying, he said this. He said, "I pray that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Now, oftentimes when we read that, we don't really catch what it's saying. What Jesus was saying is that we would receive the gift of oneness. Oneness with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and oneness with each other. Oneness is an extremely powerful and amazing gift. To be one with another, to be one with God, to be one as a church family, as a community of believers. It's truly a blessing. It means that no matter how diverse our ideas are and our thinking, our theologies, and our many different denominations and churches, we are still one in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, some of you have probably heard the story about the two Methodists and the two Presbyterians and the two Baptists who got lost on a deserted island, and they were there for many years, and finally they were discovered and found and rescued. And when the rescuers arrived, they found that the Methodists had created the Castaway Methodist Church. And the two Presbyterians had founded the deserted island Presbyterian Church, and the two Baptists had created the First Baptist Church and the Second Baptist Church. And though we don't always agree, we are still one in Christ. We are still one united together in a sense of community. Now, there's one other ingredient that makes us unique as Christians, and it's also found in John 17. Jesus continued to pray, and he said this, "I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Love is the glue that holds us together in this great sense of community. And that kind of love is actually good for us. And being together and experiencing the community of Christ together as believers is very healthy for us. There's a research professor at the University of Bowling Green. It's Bowling Green State University. Dr. Kenneth Pargament. He was a sociologist there, and he's been studying religion, in particular, studying worship attendance. And he found that people who attend worship on a regular basis, who are part of the community and the life of the community, end up experiencing greater spiritual and emotional and physical health. In fact, he discovered that people who attend regularly will live approximately 7 years longer than those who do not attend regularly. And those who attend more than once a week live even longer than that. He found and he stated this, "This kind of data underscores the power of religion, not only for spiritual well-being, but also our physical well-being." Well, the love that draws us together to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and to one another in a community of believers is the kind of love that leads us and directs us to go the extra mile, turn the other cheek, and do unto others when other people don't want to do the things that we do. It's truly a gift that is unique to the Christian family. Now, there's a story I want to share with you about a father and a son that illustrates the power of the love that we experience as a community of believers. A father decided to take his son on a run. He loves his son dearly, and he wanted to participate in an Ironman event, which includes running it's a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike trip, and a 26.2 mile run, a marathon. And he decided to do that along with his son and to demonstrate his love for his son. And what he did had such an impact that it's been shared with the world, and it's built up the communities of faith in many parts of the world. And I want to show you that video right now.
Imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. Only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
The story of Dick and Rick Hoyt has been told over and over again in our world. They've been on numerous television stations and news reports and so forth. And you could see in the crowds of people around them that the love that Dick has for his son Rick is so powerful that it has actually built up the community of faith everywhere. And though we can only imagine what it will be like in the kingdom of heaven, as we grow in our understanding of our sense of community, of fellowship and love and togetherness, we can begin to experience a little bit of the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. And not only can we learn to let the winds of forgiveness blow away the pain and the hurt that we have written on the sands of life, we can also learn to become one and experience a sense of oneness with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and with each other. And though many are living life in the deserts that exist around them, as believers, united together as a community, we can become a place of hope and good news for all people. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.